one more time, I'd like to do the Gemara about Mashiach smelling the truth and Bar Kochba, and then we'll move on next week. So in Ein Yaakov Var, page Tzadi Zion, the Gemara Tzaf Tzadi Gimel Medbet, Uchtiv, and it's written, V'haricho b'yirat Hashem, he will smell with Yiras Hashem, V'lo l'mar'ein ha'vishbot, he will not judge by the sight of his eyes, V'lo l'mishah ozno yochiach, and he will not rebuke or reprove by what he hears. Amar Rabbi Alexandri, Melamechi, Dinom mitzvot v'yisrin k'rechayim. Rabbi Alexandri says it means he'll be loaded down with mitzvos and suffering like a millstone. Rava Amar b'morach v'da'in. Rava says it means he will smell certainty. Now, you'll notice that the punctuation here, it doesn't say what I just said. I said morach v'da'in, and the punctuation here says morach v'da'in. We'll come back to that. Tichtiv, lola marei navishpot, it says he will not judge by the sight of his eyes. You might say, oh, he won't judge at all. No, v'shafat b'tzedek dalim, pasuk says he will judge with the poor with righteousness. V'chiyach mishor lan v'arts. Bar kozeva malach tartin u'shnin upaga. Bar Kozeva ruled for 2.5 years. Amar lu l'rabanan, he told the rabanan, ana mashiach, I am mashiach. Amar ule, they said to him, mashiach tiv de morach v'dayin. Nechzei anan I morach v'dayin. It says about mashiach that he can smell the truth. Let's see if you can smell the truth. Came into chaziut de la morach v'dayin katlu. Since they saw he could not smell the truth, they killed him. Yesterday, we saw that Barbanel, who said that they didn't kill him, means they wrote him off, but the Romans killed him. And Rashi says, who is this Bar Kuziva? Rashi says, Mimalchei Hordus Haya. He was from the kings of the house of Hordus, meaning during the second Beis Hamikdash. In other words, the simple reading of Rashi is that Bar Kochva, Bar Kuziba was not the person we know as Bar Kochva. Bar Kochva lived after the Korban, as we'll see. But Barbanel said that Rashi just means that, according to Barbanel, it is Bar Kochva, and Rashi just means he's a descendant of Hordus. And Hordus was, although we refer to Hordus as an Edomite convert, actually it was only his mother who was an Edomite slave, but his father was from the house of David. And so he was in the house of David also. And the Barbanel also said that Rabbi Akiva actually only thought that that Bar Kochva was Mashiach ben Yosef. We will talk in the future about the concept of Mashiach ben Yosef. That's not for today, But Chachamim said he's not Mashiach ben David, he's not even Mashiach ben Yosef. Today, I want to see some other perspectives, as well as more about Bar Kochba. Barbanel says, and again, this is in Sefer Yeshuas Mashicho, one of the three Svarim that the Barbanel wrote about Mashiach. Yeshuas Mashicho in Iyun Aleph Perek Daled, he says, "Vine Sipur Ben Kuziva, the story of Ben Kuziva, meaning Bar Kochva, who katzar etzleinu ma'od, it's very short by us. Velotim sami menuki ma'at mizer b'tamudim min Hashem. You will find very little about it in the Gemara and Midrashim. Aval v'sifrei divrei hayamim asher laromiim, but in the Roman history books." Ra'iti ani dvarim rabim v'atzumim b'mechamotav u'migvorot libo v'achzariyuto aloivim. I saw a great deal regarding his wars and his bravery and his cruelty to his enemies, and that he went to Alexandria, Egypt, and took great revenge on the Roman inhabitants of Alexandria. Bar Kochba. V'nit pashem chomuch machut Mitzrayim bavel. His power extended over Egypt and Bavel. The Ishlo Amad Fanav. Nobody stood in front of him. Wherever he went, he spilled the blood of his enemies like water with no mercy. In the Roman history books, Bar Minel says there are amazing stories about Bar Kokhba. Relatively little about him in Chazal. Why? So the answer might be obvious. But Rav Reuven Margolios says, brings a medrash. I always like when I can give you a Dvar Torah for this week's Parsha. So here we go. Pasuk says in Tocha, V'imad eila lo tishmuli, if you still won't listen to me, V'yasavti li asaretchem sheval chatotechem, I will punish you further 7 times for your sins, V'shavarti et ga'onuzchem, and I will break the pride of your strength. Ga'on uzchem, the Medrash says, what is ga'on uzchem, the pride of your strength? Zeh Beit Hamikdash. This refers to Beit Hamikdash. Rabbi Akiva Omer, v'shavarti et ga'on uzchem, elu ha'giborim shebisrael. This refers to the braves among Yisrael. Ga'on Yoav ben Shruya v'chavirav, like Yoav ben Shruya, the general of David HaMelech, and his friends. Acherim omrim, v'shavarti et ga'on uzchem, elu ha'geim asher Gonam Shayisrak Gon Papus Ben Yehuda Vulianus Alexandri Vchavirav. And others say that refers to some individuals who were martyrs in the time of the Romans, named Papus Ben Yehuda and Lulianus and others. So Rav Reuven Margolios says, I understand 2/3 of that medrash. The pride of your strength is the Beis Hamikdash. Okay, I can understand that. Or the pride of your strength is these various martyrs in the time of the Romans. I can understand that. But Yoav ben Shruya, the general of David HaMelech, way back before the first Beis Hamikdash, what's he talking about? Like, how is he the pride of our strength that Hashem broke as a punishment for our sins? Our sins weren't until the Beis Hamikdash was built and we worshiped idols. And I mean, there were sins before that, obviously, but why would Yoav ben Shruya be in the Tochacha? Like, what's it talking about? So Rav Margolios says it's not talking about Yoav ben Shruya. The one who says it is Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, we know, he's referred to as the arms bearer of Bar Kokhba. He wasn't literally the arms bearer of Bar Kokhba, most likely, but it means he was Bar Kokhba's biggest fan. He was the one who said that we believed Bar Kokhba was Mashiach. And then Bar Kokhba died. And Rabbi Akiva, or Bar Kokhba, was killed by the Romans. Rabbi Akiva eulogized him. However, when you're under siege by the Romans and you want to eulogize the general, the king who rebelled against the Romans, it's a little hard to do. You can't exactly get up and give a public eulogy for the person that the Romans just killed for rebelling against them. So Rabbi Akiva concealed his message by referring to Yoav ben Shruya. Who was Yoav ben Shruya? He was a general of David HaMelech, incredibly brave and loyal person who got in trouble for killing the wrong person. In Yoav's case, he killed Avner, the general of Shaul. Avner, after Shaul was killed, Avner came to make peace with David HaMelech, and Yoav killed him. And for that, Yoav was Chayv Misa. And there were other, Yoav's had some other incident where some, as well. Okay. What happened to Bar Kokhba? Bar Kokhba killed one of the Chachamim, Rabbi Eliezer HaModai. He suspected Rabbi Eliezer HaModai of treason, and he killed him. And it was because of that, Farshim say that Bar Kokhba himself brought about his own downfall for wrongly suspecting and killing one of the Chachamim. So it perfectly parallels the case of Yoav ben Shruya. So what do we see from here? We see that the Chachamim were not able to talk, and the Mishnah and the Gemara were written under the control of foreign powers. the Romans, the Babylonians, the Roman, even in Bavel, the Romans were never far away. The Midrashim, major Midrashim, were written again in the Roman Empire. You couldn't exactly glorify Bar Kokhba. And that is most likely why we have very little in the words of Chazal about Bar Kokhba. The Abarbanel says, but if you go to the Roman history books, ironically, you can read a lot about him and about the wars that he fought. That's, yes.
Can we confirm what the Abarbanel said about the Roman, what's in the Roman history books?
Can we confirm it? I mean,
do we have those same history books available to us that the Abarbanel saw?
Oh, probably in the Vatican, I'm guessing. I don't know. Okay. If you read Latin, you can Google it. Yeah. Now, this is all on the assumption that the Bar Kuziba referred to here is Bar Kokhba. However, according to a simple reading of Rashi, it's not. Another Rishon, the Yad Ramah, as well, writes, let me go back a little bit in the Yad Ramah, V'haricho b'yirat Hashem amar Rava shemeriach vada'in. Kolomar, what does this mean? That he can smell the truth. Kolomar shemevin v'ruach HaKodesh amitat davar. He understands the truth of things with Ruach HaKodesh. V'ino dan lefi tanotem shabalei dinim. He doesn't judge based on the arguments, and not based on testimony. He just knows who's innocent and who's guilty. And again, we saw a few different explanations in the last few days for how that might work. Meriach lashon umerachok yeriach mechama. Meriach means the smell. Vada'in lashon davar vadai. And vada'in means certainty. He can smell certainty. She marbito vadain v'patach. Avav, it's a patach under the vav. V'dalet v'gusha, so vadain. V'yesh mefarshim, some explain differently. Meriach k'da amran, to smell, like we said. V'da'ein, targum v'shofet. It means, and he judges. So vadain doesn't mean certainty. It means he smells v'da'ein and judges. That's how it's punctuated. The Ein Yaakov Mavar. Klomar, Shemiriach, Baruch HaKodesh, V'Shofet, V'Dayan, V'Shvat HaKad Abav, punctuated differently. Bar Kuziba, Mimalchei Bait Sheni, Bar Kuziba was a king in the Bait Sheni. Now, we know the names of the kings in the second Beis HaMikdash, and there wasn't one named Bar Kuziba. So Reuven Margolios suggests that Chazal borrowed the name of the later person. We know there was someone named Bar Kokhba who's also referred to as Bar Kuziba, as I explained yesterday. Bar Kokhba means the son of a star, alluding to the pasuk that Bilam said, Darach Kochav Miyakov, referring to Mashiach, that be a star that stepped out from the Jewish people. And Bar Kuziba means the son of a lie, the son of falsehood. So when he turned out not to be Mashiach, he was called Bar Kuziba, but that's not who our Gemara is referring to. Our Gemara simply borrowed the term Bar Kuziba to refer to an earlier king who also gave false hope. That's how Reuven Margolios explains the opinion of Yad Ramah. So he said he's Mashiach, and they said, they tested him, and he wasn't Mashiach, so they killed him. What exactly is the crime of being a false Mashiach? The Yad Ramah's understanding, the Chachamim actually killed him. Not like the Abarbanel said, okay? Because Abarbanel is talking about Bar Kokhba, and we know the Romans killed Bar Kokhba. But the Yad Ramah understands that this Gemara is not talking about Bar Kokhba, and the Chachamim actually killed this person. What sin is it to be a false Mashiach? So the answer is, it's the sin of being a false prophet. How does Mashiach smell the truth or judge, smell and judge, depending on which punctuation you accept? Not punctuation, which vowelization. I kept saying punctuation. It's through Ruach HaKodesh, which is a form of nevuah. V'iu kevin demar de Mashiach ana umora'a, and since he, ana vadain, since he said, I am Mashiach, and I can judge with my smell, he is saying, I'm a prophet. And he turned out to be a false prophet, and a false prophet is Chayiv Misa, so they killed him. So Yad Ramah explains exactly what sin is involved in being a false Mashiach. There are others who offer another explanation of what is the sin of being a false Mashiach. The Rambam says that part of our belief in Mashiach is that Mashiach will come from David HaMelech. Bar Kuziba was from the house of Hordus. Putting aside the Abarbanel's explanation of how Hordus was also from David HaMelech, simple understanding is that Hordus was a convert, was not from David HaMelech, and therefore a person who says, I'm Mashiach, and he's not from David HaMelech, is violating one of the 13 articles of faith, because one of the 13 articles of faith is that Mashiach will come from David HaMelech, so he's Chayiv Misa for that. Not absolutely clear where it says you're Chayiv Misa for violating the 13 articles of faith. Okay. So that explanation needs a little explanation. So that's the Yad Ramah who says we're not talking about Bar Kokhba at all, we're talking about someone entirely different. Okay. In one of the collections of Tshuvos HaRambam, letters of the Rambam, there's a tshuva near the very end, several tshuvos near the very end that are not from the Rambam, from someone named Sadia Ibn Danan, who might have been a descendant of the Rambam, or might have had an incredible coincidence of similar family names. He refers to himself as Sadia B'Rabbi Mar Maimon, Ben Rabbi Moshe, Ben Rabbi Maimon, Ben HaKavod HaChacham HaDayan, Rabbi Moshe, Rabbi Maimon, Ibn Danan. Sadia, the son of Maimon, the son of Moshe, the son of Maimon, the son of Rabbi Moshe, Rabbi Maimon, which can't refer to the Rambam, because Rambam didn't have a son named Maimon. The Rambam had only one son. His name was Avram. So either he's shortened his genealogy and he's a descendant, distant. He lived in the 1400s. So either he's a distant descendant of the Rambam and he shortened his genealogy, or it's an incredible coincidence of names. He's not a descendant of the Rambam at all. In any event, Rav Sadia Ibn Danan. And he writes here, he was asked to write a history of all the kings of the Jewish people. So he does that. And towards the end, he writes, Ulachar Chorban Bait Sheni, Benun Bet Shana, 52 years after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. So that would be approximately the year 120 of the Common Era. Kam Koziba HaMelech, Koziba the king arose, he said that he's Mashiach. Umalach beitar, and he ruled in the city of Beitar, beimedinam yushevet beretz Yisrael, which is an inhabited place in Eretz Yisrael. Venityashva az larov, and it was a very big city. Chazal say that millions of people were killed in the destruction of Beitar. World history does not recognize any city of that size. Chazal also, Josephus, rather, I believe, says that millions of people were killed in the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And again, the world history doesn't recognize cities of that size, but there are lots of things about the Jewish people that world history doesn't recognize. And that's our tradition, that there were millions of people in Beitar. Although recognizing that sometimes Chazal do use numbers in an exaggerated way. We frequently find something referred to as double the number of people who left Egypt, and it could be a figure of speech. So it's not we don't know for sure if it's to be taken literally or not. So anyway, it was a very large city, he says. Ubar Bab Eretz Yisrael Magola Rabim Ibn Yisrael. People came from the from Eretz Yisrael and from the diaspora. Umalach Shnatayim Vachetzi Ibn Erag. He ruled 2.5 years and he was killed. Rabbi Tainer Zichronam Libcha Amru B'Sanhedrin Perk Chet Shechachmei Yisrael Harguhu Perk Chelek rather. That's our parak. Shechachmei Yisrael Harguhu Al Shamar Shu Mashiach. V'u Lo Ayam Mizera David. The Gemara says that the Chachamim killed him because he said he's Mashiach and he wasn't from the house of David. He was succeeded by his son Rufus, the Roman name, and he died. Another Roman name, and Ubalav Adrianus Harasha, Sar Romi, and then he was his Bar Kuziba's grandson, Romulus, was the one who was against whom Hadrian waged war. And it was a greater tragedy than the day that the Romans entered the second base of Hamikdash, referring to the number of people who were killed. Umet Romulus HaMelech Alav HaShalom Rabim Mibnei Yisrael Amo, and Romulus the king and many Jewish people died Bavonotenu Rabim due to our great sins. V'zeh Ayah B'Shnat Ayin Gimel Achar Chorban, that was 73 years after the Chorban, which would be approximately the year 143. V'ayah Hemshech Machut Rufus Ben Kuziba Romulus Beno Yudchet Shana. So Rufus and his son Romulus ruled for 18 years, and Bar Kuziba ruled for 2.5 years, so the whole thing was 20.5 years. From that day on, there has not been a king among the Jewish people. We wandered from nation to nation, and we dechi al dechi, from one corner to another, from one being pushed around to another. Ad yashkif v'yireh Hashem mishamayim, until Hashem will look down from the heavens, v'yirchem aleinu, and have mercy on us, v'yivneh beit kodshenu v'tifarteinu, and rebuild our holy and glorious home, the Beis HaMikdash, v'meirah v'yameinu kein yehi ratzon. That is the history according to Rav Sadia Ibn Danan. He doesn't give sources. So I don't know if this was a tradition he had or he got this from Roman history books. But there's, like I said, very little written about Bar Kuziba, Bar Kokhba in general. Now, on Tuesday, I think it was, I read the Rambam in Hilchos Malachim, where the Rambam talks about Mashiach. And Rambam writes one very well-known statement that the days of Mashiach will be a perfectly natural era, just like now. And also he writes that that Mashiach doesn't have to prove himself with a wondrous sign. If he comes and does all the things Mashiach is supposed to do, he defeats the Jewish people, defeats the enemies of the Jewish people, builds the Beis HaMikdash, and is a great Talmid Chacham, and so on, we'll know he's Mashiach. When we see him, we'll know him. So the Ravid, and by the way, Bar Kokhba seemed to fit all of those. He, as the Barbanel says, and Rav Sadia Ibn Danan says, he fought the enemies of the Jews, won incredible battles. As I mentioned, there are those who suggest that he rebuilt the Beis HaMikdash. He actually rebuilt the Beis HaMikdash. Questionable, but there are those who believe that he rebuilt the Beis HaMikdash. And so he had at least some of the signs of being Mashiach. And Bar Kokhba believed he was Mashiach. I mean, Rabbi Kiva believed he was Mashiach. The Ravid asks a kasha on the Rambam from our Gemara. The Ravid says, what do you mean he doesn't have to do a sign? Gemara says Chachamim asked him to prove he could smell the truth. So, and the whole this whole idea of smelling the truth is not something natural. At least, now we saw several explanations of it, so you could explain it in a natural way, but it might doesn't. It could you could also explain it not in a natural way. So the Raven asked these as kashas on the Rambam, and obviously the Rambam doesn't agree. But the question could be asked: why, after he ruled for 2.5 years, did they suddenly ask him for a sign? He said, "I'm Mashiach." So, simple reading of the Gemara, just had what I assumed when I read the Gemara, was after he ruled for 2.5 years, he suddenly declared himself Mashiach. And he didn't declare himself Mashiach right away. Some of Farshim understand, no, he claimed all along to be Mashiach. But then why, after 2.5 years, did the Chachamim suddenly ask him for a sign to prove he could smell the truth? This is a commentary called Yad David. Yad David was Napoleon's rabbi. Napoleon established something he called the Sanhedrin as a council to advise him on Jewish matters and to make rules for the Jews of Napoleon's empire. And Rav David Sinsheim, Yosef David Sinsheim, was the president of the Sanhedrin. He writes that he struggled with this idea because we don't believe in establishing a Sanhedrin in Paris. So he struggled with whether he should voluntarily participate or not, and he decided, if I accept the position of president of the Sanhedrin, I can mold it in my image rather than, you know, letting some quote-unquote enlightened rabbi. This was the beginning of the Enlightenment, the very, very beginning of the Reform movement. You know, rather than letting some enlightened rabbi be president of the Sanhedrin and who knows what's going to be, better I should participate and be able to control it. So that's Rav David Sinsheim. So he asked this question. Why did they wait until why'd they wait 2.5 years? So he says, as I mentioned before, Bar Kokhba killed one of the Chachamim. He suspected him of treason and killed him. And he was wrong. He made a mistake. When he did that, it raised suspicions. Wait a second. Mashiach doesn't make mistakes like that. So now we're going to test him. He's forced us to test him to see whether he really can judge so accurately or not, because we know he made a mistake. You also perhaps could learn that when the Gemara says they tested him, maybe not like the Yad David is saying, that they tested him because he killed Rabbi Elazar Modai. Maybe that itself was the test, that they saw from the fact that he killed Rabbi Elazar Modai that he judged an innocent man wrongly. And that was the test. So
he didn't make any mistakes before.
I guess they didn't see him make any mistakes before. So that is how Rabbi Elazar HaModai, that is how the Yad David explains why they tested him. And that supports the Rambam. It answers the kasha on the Raiva's kasha on the Rambam. Rambam says Mashiach doesn't have to do a wonder to prove himself. And the Raiva asks from our Gemara, as I said, that why did they test Bar Kuziba? The answer is, they tested him because they saw he made a mistake. Really, Mashiach is not going to have to do a wonder to prove himself. However, since they saw, they suspected maybe he's not Mashiach because he made a mistake, so they tested him. And that, perhaps even the Rambam would agree with. That's Yad David's suggestion. The others, Inayim L'Mishpat, a 20th century sefer, suggests the Rambam simply doesn't paskin, just like the Rambam doesn't paskin. The pasuk says that in time Mashiach, the sheep and the wolf will lie down together. Right? Rambam says that's not to be taken literally. So there are lots of things that Gemara says about time Mashiach that the Rambam doesn't paskin like. He doesn't take them literally. And that's when we read the Rambam, suggested that that's why the Rambam doesn't mention this idea of smelling the truth. I think somebody asked, and if not, I'll tell you anyway. You should have, right. If not, you should have asked whether there's any connection between Bar Kochva, between Rabbi Kiva's believing Bar Kochva was Mashiach, and other statements we find about Rabbi Kiva where we see that he was very optimistic about the redemption. Like the famous Gemara at the end of Makos, which we all heard many times, because anytime somebody makes a siyum on Masachet Makos, you hear this Gemara, that the Chachamim were walking past the Beis HaMikdash, the Har HaBayis, and they saw a fox coming out of the Kodesh HaKodashim. Now, incidentally, that is one of the sources that the people who say that Bar Kochva rebuilt the Beis HaMikdash use. Because if the Romans had destroyed the Beis HaMikdash 50, 60 years earlier, how did Rabbi Kiva and the other Chachamim see a fox coming out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim? So you could say it means the place of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but it could mean that Bar Kochva rebuilt the Beis HaMikdash, and then after Bar Kochva's rebellion failed, the Beis HaMikdash was abandoned, and they saw a fox coming out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So that's one possible source for believing that Bar Kochva rebuilt the Beis HaMikdash. But anyway, the Gemara says that the Chachamim started crying. And Rabbi Kiva started laughing. And they asked him, why are you laughing? And he said, why are you crying? And they said, we're crying because of the fulfillment of the pasuk that Hashem will lay waste to the Beis HaMikdash. And Rabbi Kiva said, that's why I'm laughing. Because just as I see the fulfillment of the prophecy that Hashem will lay waste to the Beis HaMikdash, so I am confident in the fulfillment of the prophecy that Hashem will redeem us and rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Kiva was the eternal optimist when it came to the redemption. Neinayim LeMishpat suggests that perhaps that's what led Rabbi Kiva to want to believe Bar Kochva, because Rabbi Kiva was, you know, very eager for the Geula, and when he saw somebody who could be Mashiach, he believed him. So that's a suggestion of the Einayim LeMishpat. Two quick corrections from yesterday. I mentioned the Abarbanel says that the term Mashiach doesn't just mean the Mashiach with a capital T and a capital M, but means the anointed one. So anybody who is a messenger of Hashem could be called Mashiach. And I mentioned the Persian king Koresh, who is referred to as Mashiach. And I confused two different Persian kings. It's not referring to the Persian king who gave money and permission to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. It's referring to the Persian king who wiped out the dynasty of Nebuchadnezzar. So, minor point. Two different Persian kings, but you see that a messenger of Hashem is called Mashiach. The other thing is that I may have said something in the Abarbanel's name that is an extension of what he says, but he doesn't say it explicitly, and that is that the Abarbanel does say that Rabbi Kiva thought Bar Kochva was Mashiach ben Yosef. And then the question is, and this Abarbanel doesn't say, at least I thought he said it, and then I couldn't find it again. So maybe he says it somewhere else. In any event, he doesn't say here that Bar Kochva himself claimed to be Mashiach ben David, and that's why they tested him. Because if he's just Mashiach ben Yosef, then why test him to see if he can smell the truth? Smelling the truth is a characteristic of Mashiach ben David, not a characteristic of Mashiach ben Yosef. It must be that he claimed to be Mashiach ben David. Regarding Rabbi Kiva, according to Barbanel, maybe didn't think he was Mashiach ben David, maybe he thought he was Mashiach ben Yosef, but Bar Kokhba must have claimed to be Mashiach ben David, otherwise the Chachamim would not have tested him to see if he could smell the truth. So that is the little bit that we know about Bar Kokhba and about Bar Kuziba referred to in our Mishnah. And Yirtz Hashem, since he wasn't Mashiach, in Yirtz Hashem, soon Mashiach will come. If he comes before next Tuesday, then hopefully he will give the next shiur. Otherwise, have a good day, and see you next Tuesday.